Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Thursday morning, the start of the tournament after the first four is complete. Of course, it didn't work out for St. John's and their fans like me last night. A frustrating loss, most of the same type of stuff that you have seen down the stretch. With this team, it wasn't all that surprising. I went in excited, I went in positive, and of course I got a reality check right off the bat. But this is a great sports weekend, a great sports betting weekend, and that's why so many people are interested. Let's not lie about it. Everybody becomes a college basketball fan and thinks they're a college basketball expert right now because they like filling out a bracket and they like betting on the games. But hey, it's fun, and we're going to enjoy it. We got Jets, Giants, Yankees, Mets today as well, and Yankee tickets every hour once again. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
You know what? I'm not a St. John's fan, but I am a Chris Mullin fan, you know, and I want the local guys to do well. And, I wanted Shamari Ponds to go off last night. I just felt so bad for those kids because they were working so hard defensively. I don't care what anybody says. You watch that game defensively. And especially like the last 10 minutes of the game, they put every ounce of energy you could ever ask for in that basketball game. I mean, they were diving all over the place. You know, one of the Arizona kids, Dort, he goes down on his back, and you could see the St. John's kids all run to his aid. I mean, it was just, I don't know, they just never, ever, ever found their rhythm. And it's one of those things, you said it to me this morning, you live by the three, you die by the three. Arizona State was not great by any stretch of the imagination, especially like the last 7 or 8 minutes. Is like they couldn't.
Oh, they wanted to give it away.
They couldn't throw.
They opened
away
the door, and if you've watched St. John's, and you know that it, just like that, at a snap of a finger, if they start hitting their shots and get on one of those runs, the momentum could swing the other way. And I thought there was an opportunity there because Arizona State wasn't closing, and then of course St. John's just could not take those opportunities and turn it into something.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and kill these kids. I mean,
no,
you know, they're
of course
college
not.
Kids.
No,
they
no, no.
play hard. You know, it's 40 minutes. They go end to end. They have a very short bench. The guys were talking about it last night, how, you know, their lack of depth really does hurt them. And I thought that the discussion that they had about the guys coming off the bench and the impact that bench players have on the game, when you have legitimate guys coming off the bench, whether it be a shooter, whether it be a high energy, you know, defensive block guy, steal guy, that kind of guy, that just changes the dynamic of the game, especially if you're getting off to a bad start. And that's why depth players and the sixth man is so important, you know, for every team, no matter whether you're playing in college, pros, or even in high school, because those energy guys change the game. And let's face it, the Johnnies just don't have anybody like that.
Yeah, they've got a bunch of energy guys, and they got a bunch of high-flying guys. They just don't have enough of them.
They
only play
really,
six or seven
right,
guys.
That's what I'm saying.
You know?
That's the point. That's the point. And I don't know. I just I felt bad for Chris Mullin. I just felt like his guys got open shots. They just couldn't make them, you know? And when you look at the stat sheet after the game and all that stuff, you see, you know, everybody knows. Everybody who watched that game last night knows exactly what happened. And it was, I would imagine, a St. John's Red Storm fans' worst nightmare watching the frustrating last 10 minutes of that game. Because they stole the ball, I 7 or 8 times?
Diving for balls?
Yes, Al. But, good job, man. Al, did you watch the game?
I'm guessing he did not see
last
a lick of it.
Yeah. Did not see that.
Yeah,
it sounded like you did.
I mean, tip off at like a 9-12. I don't think that's
the other thing. Sitting there watching that game, and I wanted to watch it, and I watched the whole thing, and it was just, I don't know. I felt bad for you, man. It was so frustrating to watch.
Yeah, I think that anybody who'd been following this team after they got down 14 to 18 points early on in the first half realized that it was over at that point. It wasn't one of those like heartbreaking, rip your heart out of your chest at the end of the game type of deals. It was like, all right, they're going to lose, so now it's over. So it's over.
They
first
got
couple
it to
of minutes,
five. They got it
it's
to,
over.
You know, there was one point where I think Hans had a 3-point attempt. If he hits it,
cuts it to two.
Like either cuts it to either three yeah. or four.
Yeah, it would have been a one possession game.
And you know, he also took that 1 3-point shot from about 10 feet outside of the arc. Like what?
Yeah, you see a lot of that stuff with them. I mean, bottom line, I'm not right. You're not going to kill the kids. You feel bad for Chris Mullin, all of that stuff that you mentioned. That's the way I feel because I'm passionate about this program. I go a long way back with this team, and I'm still going to be there next year, and I'm going to be into it. But this is a disappointing year. It's a disappointing year. I'm really happy they made the tournament and gave me the excitement leading up to last night, albeit a first four game. But they were supposed to be better than this. I mean, they were supposed to be a team that made a little bit of a run, gave us a really exciting season, ended up being a disappointing year.
And
it's another one of these things in sports where I start to get excited about it and I get let down again, but it's different in college basketball. I don't get as mad at the team
basketball. I mean, you know, then again, we are New York sports fans, so we don't really have a lot to root for unless, of course, you are a Yankee fan.
I mean, New York basketball is just the worst.
I mean, the Knicks were a disgrace last night. Another one. And then, you know, you sit there and, you know, I'm trying to watch any part of the Knick game is just like impossible. Yeah. The only reason I watched last night's game was because of Donovan Mitchell. and then to be reminded that we took Frank Ntilikina, who didn't get off the bench last night, instead of Donovan Mitchell.
Remember when you kept trying to tell me that he was going to be all right, that Frank Ntilikina, I told you, no way.
But the kid's not playing.
It's just give him some time. He's 19. Yeah,
well,
he is
19. So maybe who knows what he'll be. But I know one thing. He's not Donovan Mitchell.
No.
And Donovan Mitchell, of course, just like every other team star, comes into Madison Square Garden, puts on a show in front of his hometown family.
Yep, superstar player. Could have had him. And it's funny. So the three guys that we talked about at that time, it was Frank Ntilikina, Dennis Smith Jr., and Donovan Mitchell coming out of that draft. The Knicks have two of those three guys, and the one guy that they don't have is the superstar in the NBA in Donovan Mitchell.
Well, maybe you could send Ntilikina to Dallas, and they could just keep adding European players. I don't know.
Just send them to Phil Jackson's ranch in Montana.
Right, exactly. At the end of the day, it's not Scott Perry. It's not Steve Mills, even though, you know, now he's running the franchise. I don't think he really was running the franchise as the way he is running it now, but just another bad decision. That's why you worry about, you know, we always talk about drafting and who do you trust as a GM and all that other stuff. I'm hopefully they get the number one pick and they take Zion. That's an easy one. You know, if they get the number two pick, somebody else will make the pick for them because they'll get the one or the other. You know what I mean? Maybe they'll be infatuated with Ja Morant. Who knows? But at the end of the day, this season can't get over fast enough. They're doing exactly what we were hoping they were going to do, which we predicted they would end up doing. And hopefully this season, we don't lose anybody to any injury. I don't want to see a Dennis Smith go down. I don't want to see Kevin Knox
playing,
go down.
But, I mean, he,
I know. I just don't want to see any of these guys go down for, you know, like with a significant sort of injury that's going to linger into next year. That's the only thing that I would say. And then I was talking with a bunch of buddies last night thinking about this. If Zion Williamson does get drafted, meaning that the Knicks will win the lottery,
okay,
every free agent out there knows that the Knicks have that lottery pick and know who they're going to take. That is going to be what it takes, I believe, to lure the free agents here if Kevin Durant isn't already here in his mindset. You know what I mean? I don't know what to say, say about
him. I think
him.
More importantly is the teaming up of an already established NBA player. Of course Zion's going to help. I am not dismissing that. It will absolutely help. But does a free agent come just because of Zion Williamson? I think that two guys need to join forces.
Sure, you're right,
but I do
think there's an attractiveness to it if they do win the lottery on May 14th. If they win that lottery,
it helps. Yeah, definitely
then,
helps.
You know, then the next day, we're talking about, okay, it's Zion most likely, unless somebody puts out there that R.J. Barrett's better or Ja Morant.
Well, even if it's R.J. Barrett, I don't think that stops a guy like Durant or Kyrie from wanting to be a part of it. I mean, I think, you know, either one of those players, I think, would excite them enough. It's really about their buddies that are in the league now that have always dreamt about playing with one another. How many times have we heard that with this? You know, when we were on the Team USA or the All-Star game, or you know, they were on vacation together. There was that classic LeBron James banana boat picture when he was on vacation with Chris Paul and Carmelo at some point, and Dwayne Wade, will all be together. These guys talk about this all the time. They don't know Zion. They know that he is a uber talent, and I'm sure they're very excited about his NBA prospects, but they don't know him.
You
what? They'll all have the, you know, Zion will end up picking an agent, and that agent will probably be, you know, lock, stock, and barrel into Kevin Durant or somebody else. Who knows? I mean, at the end of the day, we can only keep our fingers crossed and hope that the Knicks somehow come out with the first pick. Now, yesterday, I had a flashback.
Did you have a flashback?
Yes. And I flashback to January 2nd, 2019. January 2nd. Do you know what we were doing January 2nd, 2019?
Well, January 2nd, we were back on the air after a vacation.
That's exactly right. You know what happened on January 1st on New Year's Day?
We're talking about Dwayne Haskins' performance in a game. Is that probably the Rose Bowl game?
That's exactly right. And what did I say on January 2nd, 2019 at 6:05 a.m.?
This is
what
where,
did I say?
This is where my memory stops. I'm going to take a guess, though.
Why does your memory stop?
Oh, because I don't remember what you said on January 2nd when we opened the show at 6:05.
I said the Giants trade up for the number one draft pick overall and draft Dwayne Haskins
I
said.
All right, that was going to be my guess.
That was January 2nd.
Yeah.
Draft or trade with Arizona. This was before Kyler Murray was involved in the discussion. Everybody figured that he was going to go play baseball, or they didn't have an answer as to what was going to happen with that young man.
Mm-hmm.
But so yesterday was the pro day out there at Ohio State. And I know it's pro day. I know there's no people out there. You know, there's no defense out there. You're throwing in your shorts and your T-shirts and everything else. Let me just tell you something. Dwayne Haskins once again showed yesterday why the New York Giants need to draft him. I don't know what the hell they're looking at. I don't know what they're talking about. I don't know what kind of freaking plan they have. But that plan should be to draft that kid at any cost. That is your future right there. And then when you listen to him give his pro day post-workout interview, you say to yourself, this kid has got the smarts. He's got the attitude. And he certainly has the arm strength and arm talent and accuracy and the quick feet to play in the NFL.
Oh, what a tongue bathing.
Yeah, this is exactly right. I don't want to hear about lack of movement and all this other crap that is coming from, you know, the morons out there that, you know, are looking for holes in people's games and all that other crap. He showed again yesterday why he should be a top five pick.
You didn't need to be sold yesterday.
I didn't.
He could have gone out there and not thrown a football and basically rolled around on the ground, and you would have said the same thing.
I told you at 6:05 January 2nd that this is the kid right here.
Right. Now, I know, and your opinion is not going to change, and I understand that.
It just gets further enhanced. By watching what he's doing.
My question is all these things that you're seeing, are the Giants seeing that? Because that's the only thing that matters.
Yeah, well, they took him out to dinner the other night. If they were standing there yesterday, they would have had to have blindfolds on not to see how good it is.
But here's the problem. I mean, last year they stood and watched Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, all those other guys. They were there and saw all that stuff last year, too, and passed on all the guys, so...
Well, you know, and you know, the only thing that I see
is Dwayne Haskins on the Giants. That's the only thing you see.
I don't know why, you know. And then I caught a little bit of Maggie, Chris, and Bart yesterday, and you know, I think Maggie was saying that, you know, she had seen all these now new mock drafts where the Giants aren't even involved in Haskins. I'm like, well, I still see a lot of drafts that do have them going after
Haskins.
Mock
drafts are bull crap anyway. It doesn't matter.
It's not that they're bull crap.
People go back now and check the accuracy of these things, and maybe the best guy gets three picks right. Out of the whole first round.
Where they're slotting guys. Because what ends up happening, there's usually trades.
Right, that's my point. Never ends up the way that people predicted to.
Well, I don't know. Everybody predicted in the offseason that Nick Foles was going to Jacksonville.
That's a little bit different than a draft.
That Le'Veon Bell was coming to the Jets. I mean, you know, there are a lot of predictions that are right. There are a lot of people that thought Baker Mayfield should have been number one last year. Everybody knew that Dave Gettleman was going to draft Saquon Barkley. He basically didn't lie about that.
There's more misses on these mock drafts. It's not even close. I mean, these guys who are the best at them maybe hit on four or five picks at the top. I mean, that like the very best.
But here's the thing. Let's take the top 10 players, okay? Let's not worry about where they're drafted 1 through 10, just at the fact that they are drafted in the top 10. Pretty much everybody knows who those top 10 players are. Every now and again, there's a surprise that comes out of nowhere. You know, the Chicago Bears will really be quiet, and then trade up to number 3 and draft Mitch Trubisky and blow everybody away. Every now and again, that happens. You know, maybe that's what Dave Gettleman's doing now. I don't know. Maybe he's trying to put everybody off on a different scent. But I think he's got the draft capital to go up if he wants to. And then the teams that he will have to trade with will have to think that they could still get their guy that they really want at number six. If in fact it's San Francisco, the Jets, or I think, what's it, Tampa up there?
So, yeah.
I don't know. I sit there and I watch that pro day yesterday. I watch his combine workout. I watch the way he played on on the field. I see his numbers. And this kid, when you listen to him, you say to yourself, he's got the confidence that I think it takes to become an NFL quarterback. And he's big and he's strong. I don't know. There's so much to like. There is so much to like.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.